Hello, West Coast.
Hello, East Coast gentlemen.
What's going on?
We are lucky to have tonight Deanna Powell from Glen Murray. She's the Glen Murray Regional Brand Ambassador. I think she's located on the East Coast, correct?
I believe so.
You guys have some, we all have some Glen Murray with us. We're going to sit around, talk TV, maybe some movies, and drink some whiskey with Deanna.
All right, shall we roll the intro?
Roll the intro.
Roll it.
Rolling. Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions for shows we should watch, whiskey we should drink, cocktails we should make, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to episode 20 of What We Drink, What We Watch When We Drink.
You can never get it right.
I can never get it right. We need to change the name, or I need to like get a brand.
He's got the episode count right. I mean, that counts, right?
I got the 20. I'm good with numbers.
Those are 20.
Numbers are good. Letters are bad. It's very simple. We are going to welcome in Deanna Powell, the Glen Murray Regional Brand Ambassador, to What We Watch When We Drink.
Can we get a drum roll?
If we had a drum, we can't afford one.
Yeah, we can't afford a band either. All right, we'll just bring her in. Okay.
Deanna, thanks for coming on.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on a podcast.
Never done this before?
No, not technically. I've done like a little kind of guest spot in a commercial situation, but not a real podcast. So this is my true test to find out whether or not I have a podcast voice.
Can we back up though? We're not a real podcast. We're just a podcast.
Oh, just a podcast. Okay. My bad. I'm so sorry.
We have faces for podcasts, not faces for TV or
for
radio, actually.
That's right.
This is why podcasts are great though, because you don't even have to worry about dressing up nice or whatever.
Yeah.
You can just talk.
I'm in my garage.
And we're both in our basements. So
that's right. There you go.
There you go.
So Deanna, we are going to talk a little bit about TV, a little about what we watch during the week. But before we get to that, let's talk about what you do. Tell us about your position with Glen Murray.
I've been working for them for about 6 months now, so I'm still relatively new to this particular role, but I've been in the industry in general for almost 10 years now. And even though I'm not currently in Scotland, I was there recently checking out our facilities. I had a really great time. I learned a lot. And I live in New York. I cover the Northeast for them, although it's not technically the Northeast. I'm kind of a little bit more scattered than that.
Just like Angelo.
That's my brain. My brain is scattered.
I'm that way too. I start a lot of tasks and then I don't finish one when I should.
You really need to produce our podcast.
I always get things done, though, on time.
What did you do before coming to Glen Murray?
I was with the DiSerrano portfolio for around four years.
Okay.
So I worked on a whiskey when I was with them and a few other type of like modifier liqueurs.
Like the Amaretto DiSerrano?
DiSerrano, yes. Yeah,
that was a you know, one of the staples in the house back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I heard most of the time.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with an Amaretto Sour.
No, those are delish.
I was always more of a Godfather kind of gal.
What's a Godfather?
Because
what's a Godfather?
I like, it's Scotch and Amaretto and that's optional bitters. So I was always a heavy, like booze stirred kind of person.
Okay.
I love drinks that have citrus in them, but I've always leaned on the ones that were just straight liquor.
Okay.
So the Godfather was always my go-to cocktail.
Is it like one part, two parts, or what are the proportions on the Godfather?
I think it really depends on what your palate is like, because I've seen a lot of different recipes out there. And to be honest, I ended up going a little bit more heavy on the Scotch when I was doing that. I prefer 2 ounces of Scotch with half an ounce of Amaretto. And then I'm a big bitters fan, so I always put some bitters in there too.
Now, going back to the Scotch, though, I mean, that's a pretty broad category. So
what kind of scotch would you use?
It's a good question because
it matters. I mean, it does matter.
Yeah, of course. As when you use lighter style scotches, they're going to be muted a little bit more when you use something as sweet as an amaretto. So I would probably end up leaning on something that was a little bit higher in ABV or a higher age statement just because it carried heavier notes that would shine through when you use the Di Serrano.
A little more depth.
Interesting.
But there's nothing better than there's nothing better than just drinking the whiskey on its own, you know.
Exactly. And we're always of the opinion that, you know, if it can't stand on its own, it's not really worth drinking. So that's kind of always been our feel.
Very true.
So we're hopping in a little bit of whiskey first. What are you guys starting with?
Deanna was kind enough to send us 4 samples of Glenmurray. The Classic Cask, is that what it was called?
Yeah, the Classic Series. So that's kind of our entry-level single malt range, meant to be more for the beginner drinker, someone who's leaning into scotch for the first time. But of course, this whole line is going to be intriguing for the seasoned scotch drinker as well.
So this could be called the Gateway Series.
Exactly, sure.
Or the Gateway Podcast.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. Gateway to what, though?
That's the question. Shall we do a little cheers, a little clink?
Yes. Cheers.
Ready? So wait, which one did you all pour out? The classic?
Yes.
The classic.
The original classic?
The original classic.
Let's do that again. One more time. Ready? Cheers. That'll work. All right, we're good.
So this one is, you know, very light. It's a 3, 6, and 9-year-old blend, but on average, it'll be around 6 years. So, you know, you have the traditional base of malted barley blended in bourbon casks. It'll land at mostly first fill bourbon casks, although the distillery has used second and third filled in the past. This one was developed in the 90s when we were associated with Glenmorangie. It has a lot of those like similar notes. Again, it's very light, easy drinking, something that's great for mixing in cocktails if you want to even have an amaretto. I mean, sorry, a Godfather.
No.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll do a Rob Roy if I want to stay in that range.
Well, it's funny that you said Glenmorangie or Glenmorangie, however you want to pronounce it. But I kind of was getting a little bit of that, like the 10, the original.
Yeah.
It just has that kind of just clean and just, you know, malty and just, you know, a nice clean spirit.
It's fruity with some biscuit. That's nice.
Yeah.
Vanilla notes, short finish. Maybe like a hint of ginger in there too.
And this is at 40%?
Yes. So the entire line is at 40%. Most of our items that we have available in the States are at 40%, with the exception of the 18 and the 21.
And I think that lends itself to being more approachable as well, because it's not going to be an overproofed, you know, heavy burn at the finish or any of that. It's just going to be a nice, approachable, drinkable, sippable whiskey. It's nice.
Right. Which I think is the ultimate goal here. Yeah. And of course, going into those age statements that have the higher ABV that are going to give you more viscous and just like oily notes are amazing too.
Again, I think it's similar to the Glenmorangie 10 in that way, that it's just something that you could drink all night.
It's dangerous.
Aren't they all about?
So, Deanna, we like to talk TV, movies, etc. What about you? Have you gotten through any TV shows lately? Gotten maybe binged through something lately?
You know, I was actually trying to hold off from watching this for a while because it was, you know, all the hype, but I did kind of sort of binge Squid Game. And it wasn't because I like needed to see every episode in a row. It was just Thanksgiving weekend and I didn't want to get up off the couch. And it was just going into the next episode, you know?
So did you like it?
I did.
Did it live up to the hype?
See, that's the problem, is that every time things are hyped up, it kind of ruins stuff for you. But that's not to say that it wasn't good. I did think that there was maybe a little bit too much time going in between scenes where they were doing like character development, or just like this one particular scene, like towards the end, the main character is walking down the tarmac, not the tarmac, the thing that you have to walk through to get onto the plane.
Yep.
And
jetway.
the camera was just following him like down the entire thing. Like I just thought it was a very long time.
I thought the hype was way beyond what the quality of it was. I wasn't totally in love with it, but I got sucked in and decided to finish it. Did you watch it in Korean? Or?
No, I don't know Korean, so I have to watch it.
No, but did you watch the subtitles or the dub?
Oh, no, I watched the subtitles. I can't do dubs. It makes it weird.
I think it's more distracting.
Yeah. One of the big criticisms of it was that the dubbed version and the captions don't, in English, don't match the actual language and the actual actions that are going on screen. That was a big criticism. And I watched it in Korean with the English subtitles, and my wife watched it in the dubbed version, and it was like a different show. It was weird. It was strange because nothing matched. It was like two different movies. Shows. It was really weird. The acting was sort of weird. It was sort of over the top in a lot of ways, you know.
Well, you have to look at it like if something is being filmed in another country, that they just kind of do it a different way.
Yes,
so
correct.
We can't really expect to react the same way, I guess, these scenes. But what I noticed in the subtitles was that they were very obviously trying to match it to the way we would say something in the States. And I was just like, there's no way they're saying it like that over there.
Correct. Right. The biggest show in Netflix history, I believe, right?
It's got a really worldwide audience too, though. You know, you're going to get the whole Asian market.
And now, if you've watched it or watched one episode of it, your Netflix feed now shows up with all these Korean shows.
There's a couple that look kind of interesting, though.
There are.
I watched about three episodes of Squid Game. I mean, I liked it. I liked what I saw. I thought it was really kind of pretty well done in terms of, you know, the quality of the filming. And I liked a lot of the characters. But then it just got to be just, I don't know. It's like trying to watch like Survivor, and I don't like those kind of shows.
That's kind of how I felt about Ted Lasso.
Oh, really?
I tried to watch the first episode of Ted Lasso, and I was like, eh. And then I stopped watching it, and then it blew up.
Yeah. I was the same way. I was so unimpressed by the first episode, or just not, I'm not going to watch this. And then I kept watching from a few friends that said, keep watching. It gets way better. I mean, it's a great show. And I'll
give it another shot.
Yeah, you should. I was the same way.
For me, I think it was like the right show at the right time. You know, because it was like after a year of just working from home and not seeing anybody, it just hit a lot of good notes. And I just enjoyed it. I mean, I watched it by myself. Nobody watched it. Nobody else in the house was watching it. So I just kind of just binged
it. It's very funny. The writing is really amazing.
Oh, yeah. And I watched the first season a couple times. And it's easy. I mean, I would just put it on while I'm at work, have it on my iPad, and just watch it while I'm working all day. Yeah. So
it's really well done. It's deserving of all of its accolades. And I would have never thought that after watching that first episode. Like Deanna said, it's sort of whatever. But it's definitely has heart.
Give it a chance, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Was Sudeikis a writer on it?
Yeah, I think so.
Sudeikis is a writer, yeah. Yep. He's a big writer on it. Yep. He's great. Any other shows you got through lately?
I was watching Dexter, Only Murders in the Building.
Ooh, did you like that?
I did. It was...
me too.
It was kind of heartwarming, I guess, to kind of see
Steve
Martin and Martin Short as older people still kind of applying their same type of humor, but it still working in a modern show, because that doesn't always like transfer well over the generations. Sometimes like, you know, the humor just isn't going to work anymore.
They do really well in the show playing older folks in 2021 with issues with technology, issues with email, issues with cell phones, and dealing with all those things that, you know, like our parents can't figure out, right? It's very funny. It's done in a really fun way. I wasn't sure about Selena Gomez, but she works too. And it's interesting because she's like a third of their age, right? It's a really well done, and it's about a podcast. So that's even funnier too.
Oh yeah, there we go.
She seems to hold her own with them, which is, you know, kind of surprising. Yes. When you see the names on the marquee, you don't go, wait a minute, one of those names just doesn't seem right.
I was flipping around a few days ago over the long weekend, and I came across Planes, Trains, and Automobiles some cable channel.
That's
fantastic. I saw, it's an amazing movie. And seeing Steve Martin, what, 30 years ago about?
Yep. Approximately? What's that, like early 90s, mid-90s?
Looking the same because his hair's been
pretty much looking
forever.
The same except without the glasses. Yeah, and he's such so great. You know, he, from a stand-up comedian to this amazing actor who's got a lot of heart in what he does, he's just, he'd never acted enough.
And you see him with Candy, and the two of them are just like kids playing off each other.
Yeah,
that movie is just amazing. It was so good. It was just so good.
I'm hoping, it looks like it, what's it called? Murder in the Building?
Only Murders in the Building.
That's it. It looks like it's set up for a season two, so hopefully it comes back. It was really good.
We binged Manifest. I lost control of the television when my daughter came home, successive weekends. And like some of these other ones on Netflix, they picked it up, it blew through their box office, and they actually ordered an extra season. So there's going to be like 8 or 10 more episodes to make a season 4 in February, April or something.
Next year. It was on NBC originally, right?
It was on NBC, yeah.
Was it any good?
It kind of has a Lost vibe to it. And Lost was so disappointing in the way it ended. You're like, this might invest too much of my time for this really bad ending.
Well, those shows sort of feel like the writers are kind of making it up as they go.
Yep.
Like they don't have, maybe there is some bigger picture that they've kind of mapped out. But how do you map out that big picture when you don't know if there's going to be season 2 or season 3 or season 4? And you just kind of have to, you just don't know. Nobody gives you like a 4-year contract, a 4-season contract anymore.
It's not like, Game of Thrones or Harry Potter where all the books are written and they're making a movie based on where it's going to go. It's kind of like, well, we didn't expect to get a second season, so we got nothing. We better start writing.
And then you have a lot of people, like corporate people, telling you what they want and new writers that they hire. Yep. So it just kind of goes off on its own.
I binged over the weekend and it took a long time. I watched on Disney Plus. Yeah, Disney Plus. I watched the Peter Jackson Beatles doc.
Oh, the Beatles? Oh, yeah.
Which is like 70,000 hours of watching TV. It's amazing. It's really long. It's like, I think each episode's like, I think the first one's 2.5 hours, first episode. And then the other ones are like 2 hours.
Yeah, see, I'm already out. They got to break it up. You got to break it up into chunks.
Yeah. Is that the one that they colorized?
I think there might have been some colorization. I'm not sure. Because it looks a little bit modern.
Yeah, I think it was shot on a handheld color, but then to convert it to something you could watch today, I think they had to do some production quality to it. So it's not completely colorized, but the color is just not what you'd expect today.
It's really interesting because it's, if you know the story, the Beatles get together to kind of make a new album, not for one last hurrah, but to get together for one last album. And but they have only like 17 days to make an album, write it, record it, and do a show, one show. And so you see them in the process of writing and their whole creative process, which is fascinating. And the goal at the time was also to make a movie about this process. And so they've got cameras everywhere and there's microphones everywhere. And so you hear all of the dialogue between the guys, the production people, Yoko Ono, Linda McCartney, everyone. And it's interesting, seeing the curtain pulled back and all these things that we thought maybe were true about the Beatles, like, it was all Yoko's fault for the breakup. Maybe it's not. And maybe it's Linda McCartney's fault. Who knows? But it's interesting watching them, the process. And Paul goes home one night and comes back and he's got like, just comes the next day with this amazing, classic song. This is the power of this creativity. Is just crazy. The other thing that's really fascinating about this, because it's Peter Jackson, and I guess he's been working on this for 4 or 5 years. The original movie production company had filmed like 50 hours of film, of 16mm film, and they had over 100 hours of audio, but they weren't put together. So the film was just film. And the audio was just audio because they had all these microphones everywhere. So Peter Jackson wanted to put the film and the audio together, and he wanted to get the audio extracted from all the other sounds that were going, the dialogue extracted from all of the music that's going on and all the noise that's going on. So how do you do that? So his production company, that thing in New Zealand where they, Lord of the Rings guys, they wrote a AI program to machine learn all of the sounds, the extraneous sounds like drums and guitars and people tapping on the table and whatever, so that the software knew what was talking and what was not talking. And so they could extract the dialogue. And so that's how you have all this dialogue that you couldn't hear before. It's wild.
I don't know if this is the same thing or not, but I saw a show that I feel like was different where this guy who was using technology like that was with McCartney, I think, and showing him.
Was that Rick Rubin?
Stuff. Rick Rubin, yeah.
That was on Hulu, right?
Yeah, 3 days of Rick Rubin. Three days of McCartney
I think
and Rubin.
So. Yeah, that was different. But that's Paul McCartney now, though. This wasn't from the
60s.
Now. Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So they were listening to it and he was like extracting the audio, like what they were screaming in the background that sounded like really terrible without the music. And McCartney was like, oh my God.
The most disgusting part of this documentary is how much cigarette smoking there was. It was insane. And when they're no cigarette in hand, hey, give me a cigarette. Hey, give me a cigarette. Hey, give me a cigarette. And Siggy is what they actually said. Siggy, give me a Siggy. There's so much smoking. It's incredible.
Sounds how so much cooler that way.
It was. Yes, yes. And it ultimately ends with the big concert that's on top of the building. And then the cops come in London. Right. And that's amazing because they're talking to people on the street. And the cops come. And the cops, you guys are making too much noise. We're going to shut you down. We're going to arrest people. And the band keeps playing. And half those songs that they recorded, that they sang up on the top of the roof, they're actually on the album. And yeah, it's really cool. So we have another whiskey?
I think so.
Shall we try the sherry cask?
Let's do it.
One of the best things I ever had at Glenmorangie, which I brought back like two bottles of, was their whiskey cream. Oh my God. So freaking good. Oh my God.
How's it compared to like a Bailey's?
I feel like Bailey's is like, now that I'm sort of kind of getting these like cream liqueur things, they feel like the Bailey's of the world are really, feels like there's a lot of sugar. Like they've added a lot of.
Always.
But yeah. As I recall, the Glenmorangie and the Aaron one, it's just basically whiskey and cream. Very good.
I love all cream liqueurs.
No, the sherry cask is, yeah.
With the sherry cask, how long is it in the casks?
The rest of the classic line is a stem off of what we had before the original classic.
Right, the first
one. So you have that base of, on average, 6 years in bourbon barrels. And then the sherry cask will spend around a year in Oloroso sherry. It's really light in flavor, some spicy, bitter notes. You can really smell it on the nose. Some bitter, dried prune notes, wood spice in the taste. I personally love sherry when it's mixed with whiskey. I kind of don't enjoy sherry on its own, although I will always have it if it's offered to me. But I think it just does something special when it is introduced in whiskey finishes.
Do you like or dislike any specific kinds of sherry? If you're at a restaurant, there's a sherry menu. What are you taking? Oloroso, PX, Fino?
Probably an Oloroso, Fino. I probably like the least. PX is growing on me. I did have a really good one recently, and then also even with PX finishes, there was one we had at the distillery that's not available here either. It was a limited edition PX peated. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds good.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a big peat lover too. So just kind of combining those two like really strong flavors, it was really nice.
Yeah, I think you're rolling the sherry and the peat together. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Glenmorangie doesn't do any peated whiskey per se. They just use peated barrels that had peat in them. Peated whiskey, right?
Unless it's specifically stated that we have peated. We do have a peated version that's within this classic line, but it's not available in every state. It should be available in most. And that one is a really nice surprise too, because a lot of peated fans expect to not like it because it's from Speyside, because it's not that like traditional Isla peated scotch, but it stands up really well. So maybe I'll get some over to you someday.
Please.
Is that peated malt or is it just a barrel that had peat in it?
It's peated malt.
Oh, interesting.
We actually source our peat from Aberdeenshire. So it's a somewhat local Speyside way of doing it all.
This is delicious.
Yeah, and for it being on the younger side, It's really great. I also love R15 a lot because it's a full maturation marriage of Oloroso Sherry and First Fill Bourbon. So it's like this perfect blend of both worlds.
The one thing that you have to say too is this classic line is very affordable.
What are the bottles run?
So retail, they'll be at around 35.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And our 12 year will be around 45, 49.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, and you said they're all at 40 ABV, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't have a problem spending that for 40 ABV. What was that one we had a couple weeks ago? We won't mention their name, Mike, but it was very, very, very expensive. 18 years old and 40 ABV. Like, really? Really? It's like 10 bottles of this. And it was a 40 ABV. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You're kind of used to $10 a year. Yeah. So in 18 years, you expect to be like 180. Yeah.
And that was older, at least.
Like 260.
Yeah. We won't mention any names, but the review will be up in the next week or two. So.
That's a good rule of thumb now. I'll spend $10 for every, you know, allotment.
Yeah. Well, at least on an age statement one, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the rule. It used to be less than that, but now.
Yeah, they weren't bashful with the price, that's for sure.
Well, the pricing stuff is crazy out there.
Well, especially with the last few years with tariffs and supply chain issues, and all of a sudden 10 becomes $15 a year, and it's because of the real world. So now let's move on to our next little segment, which is...
Well, you know, you skipped me, you know.
Oh, do I skip you? I did skip you.
You skipped me. Thanks a lot, pal.
You got to jump in there, dude.
You got skipped over. Calm down, Fredo.
And you know what? You know what's funny, Mike? You say that? Godfather has been on a constant rotation for the last like 5 days on Showtime. I got stepped over. I'm feeling like Fredo. I'm now Fredo.
It's what Aaron wanted.
It's not what I wanted. But no, I've binged a couple shows. There was one show, and I've been kind of like a bit on an HBO kick. So Succession, I'm all in on Succession this year.
That's an ongoing show. What have you watched?
There was a show on HBO Max called Love Life. I watched season two, and it's like an anthology series. Season one, Anna Kendrick was the star, and I didn't watch that one because I'm not a big fan of Anna Kendrick.
Is it her weird smile?
Is it because she's too happy?
I don't know.
She's too happy.
Maybe. I don't know. She's all right. She's okay. I'm just like, I didn't have any desire to see it. Now I kind of want to go back and watch it because I like season two so much. But season two was with William Jackson Harper. And he was in The Good Place. He was Chidi on The Good Place.
Oh, yeah. He's funny.
Are we still talking about Succession?
No. We're going to go back to Succession later. This is a show that I actually watched and binged. It's really good. So it follows him. Yes. He's married and things aren't going so great. And he meets somebody else. It's sort of a rom-com to a degree. But it's got some serious elements. But it's really, really good. Yeah. And it was an easy watch. It's 10 episodes. They're probably 30 to 35 minutes each. Really good cast. It's him and his buddies. Going back to Succession, Stewie from Succession.
Stewie! Yeah.
He's in the show, and he's hysterical. And there's a few other folks. I don't really know anybody famous in the cast other than him. But it's a really, really good show. And it just kind of follows his relationship. He works for a publishing company. He's married to this one woman and doesn't go so well. Meets somebody new. Then there's an on-again, off-again thing. And, you know, it's a lot of stops and starts. And just all the stuff that he's going through with relationships and, you know, want to start a family. And it all takes place in New York.
I keep hearing about it.
It's good. It was really, really good. I liked it a lot. I just finished that. Watched a couple movies. So I saw Belfast on Saturday night. I actually went to the theater, which has been kind of fun. I didn't love it. I think I'll like it better the second time around because I started reading about it before I went. So my expectations.
Who's the director?
It's Kenneth Branagh, and it's the woman from Outlander. I can't think of her name. What's her name, Mike? You're muted.
Come on, old man. Unmute yourself.
It's like, I should be like... old people who can't handle technology. Katrina, her name's Katrina.
Yeah, she was good. And what's his name? Jamie Dornan, isn't it? Kieran Hines and Dame Judi Dench. It takes place right around the start of the Troubles in Belfast. I think it's semi-autobiographical with Kenneth Branagh because I didn't realize. I thought he was English, but it turns out he's from Northern Ireland, as is Jamie Dornan and I think Kieran Hines and a few others. They're all actually from Northern Ireland. So, and it takes place right at the start of the Troubles in 1969. And it's the whole, you know, just everything's going to hell. You know, all the Catholics and the Protestants were getting along, then they're not. And then the British troops come in and just all the tension that rises. And, you know, it's a family with two young boys and they're struggling. Do we stay? Do we go? apparently Northern Ireland had the highest unemployment in all of Europe at the time, and things just aren't good. And, you know, the father has a job in England, and there's the opportunity to leave the country, and do they do it? Do they not do it? So, but it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I didn't love it. I gave it like a B+, but I think I'll like it more the second time around.
So did they do it?
Did they what?
Did they do it or did they not do it?
I can't spoil it. We can't do spoilers.
We don't do spoilers.
Spoilers?
No.
We saw that. I saw Dune in the theater, which I liked a lot better than watching it on TV.
I want to see it in the theater. And not
yeah, it was. I enjoyed it much more in the theater because you could actually concentrate. And the sound is just really good. You know, just the sound design of this movie is just really, really good. The only thing I didn't like is the middle. The middle of the movie just loses me. I fell asleep at home and I fell asleep in the theater. So it just gets it's not funny. There's no humor in this.
No.
It's a very serious movie. There was literally one funny line in the whole show. There was one. one.
Without Dune, there's no Star Wars.
Well, I guess. But you could say there's without a lot of things, there's no Star Wars. So it's all derivative, but that's okay. You know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Everybody steals from everybody. Right.
I tried to watch Maid. Have you watched any of that?
Oh, I saw the ad for it. You talked about it before.
It's pretty good, but it's rough. It's just the girl's going through a really, really rough batch. And I just had to stop. I'm like, I just see like bad things happen. And I couldn't do it. I'm like, all right, I got to stop right here. This is just too sad. I can't deal with it. But that's about it for now. We could move on. Thanks, Aaron.
Sure. We'll bring you next time. Deanna, what are you watching currently?
I just started watching the new season of Dexter yesterday.
How many episodes in are they? Like 3, 4? It's not many. It just started up today.
Yeah, I guess because it's Showtime that they won't release them all at once.
Right.
I watched 2.
Did you watch, you know, the first 8 seasons or whatever it was back in the way back when?
I did, and I watched them pretty consistently. I don't know if it's because I'm from Miami and I just wanted to watch something that was based in Miami, or if I was super into the show. I think I was into the show because I think it was written really well. And I'm curious to see whether or not this reignition into like the whole a new season of a show that's been gone for a long time is actually going to work, because everyone expects it not to. But I think if you look at the life of an actual serial killer, this would actually kind of work out, because they typically tend to go dormant for a long time, lay low until they, you know, start doing their thing again.
Like anything, life gets in the way. You get married, you have kids, you got to go to T-ball and baseball, and you can't kill like you used to kill before.
You just
got to
take a break.
You don't have the time to methodically plan a series of murders. You just don't have the time.
It's also really like physically taxing. I mean, I'm sure his back started hurting and he just was like, oh man, I got to go see like a chiropractor or something.
Yeah. It's a tough job.
Then you're an empty nester. Then you've got the time again. So, right. You know,
you can only watch so much TV.
And something that's completely on the opposite end of that, I've been watching Dancing with the Stars, which I don't watch like very often, but every once in a while, because I have a Hulu account now, so it kind of pops up.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, who's dancing? And, you know, occasionally I'll see like an NBA player or like Nelly or something, and they're like kind of being really open to allowing themselves to like do something that would otherwise be seen as like emasculate. But it's not really, because they're kind of just enjoying their life, I guess.
Is the current season over?
I guess whatever I was just watching was probably their most recent thing.
Yeah, they just ended.
Wasn't that college girl, Jade, whatever her name was, her parents got her to USC?
Yeah, the mom that was on Full House.
Yeah, she was in it. Yeah. She was one of the dancers.
She was, and she stayed on longer than I wanted her to.
I think everyone said that, right?
No, because I think that was like the whole thing, that people thought she was entitled. But I was like, I don't think she's that amazing.
That young JoJo Siwa.
She was good.
Siwa, however you say her name. She was on. And these people are professional dancers. They should be going this far. Like, they're not just a basketball player or a football player or some random person they pulled off the street. Like, these people are dancers. They're really good.
Yeah, I mean, you expect these people to have kind of a leg up with some of their experience, but sometimes they really just don't. And what was surprising this time was that Iman Shumpert won, an NBA player. They usually kind of get like weeded out early on because they're more stiff and they won't allow themselves to be frolicking around in clouds.
While they're athletes, they're not athletic. where the football players seem to do better on the show because they seem to have a little bit better
footwork that ballet
than some of the basketball players do. I don't know what they do, but they seem to do better.
More wide receivers probably are better because they actually do a lot of ballet. Yeah,
and I think Emmitt Smith won one of the first seasons as a running back, whatever. And,
Mike, what have you been watching?
I just started the new Disney Plus. They rolled out the Hawkeye show, so I'm watching that now. He's such a underrated character because he has no superpowers. He's just a guy with a bow and arrow. And it's just funny because he realizes, like, he's just this underrated, like, what am I doing? And it's just funny to see the whole thing empty. Like, someone pretends that they're him. And now he's got to go and do some things to go and fix it. And like, he's with his kids and they're out to go see a Broadway show. And he's just sitting in his seat like, oh, this is my life. This is just awful. The first two episodes were really good.
How does it compare to the other ones that are coming out?
I put it similar to Loki, where there's a lot of humor involved. There's a fair amount of action, but it isn't action just for the sake of action. And there's a fair amount of humor involved.
Did you ever see him in Senior Trip?
No.
National Lampoon.
He's in Senior Trip?
Yeah, I watched that when I was really young, and I like had it on VHS.
Wow.
And he was, I never saw him again forever. But when he started getting into all these movies, I was like, I know that guy, he's from Senior Trip. Yeah. And he had this like mushroom bowl haircut, just a stoner idiot in high school. Tommy Chong was like their bus driver. It's a lot of nostalgia I have with that movie.
He's got a really interesting career. Because you figure at one point he had a finger in like three different franchises, right?
Yeah.
He's in the Avengers, he's in the Bourne movies, and then he's in also a Mission Impossible.
He's got a nice little setup there.
Not bad, right? And apparently he's a big real estate guy in LA. He does a lot of house flipping.
He's an LA guy.
I mean, you got to diversify.
Right, exactly. Like his career was kind of like, all right, I could do this acting thing on the side, but he was making more money on real estate. Now maybe it flipped now. I don't know.
It was one of Don Cheadle's comments. When someone asks you to be in a blockbuster, say no.
Take the money.
Okay.
Take the money
and
run. I won't
look at the script. Yes, I'll do it.
You get some FU money and then you do whatever the hell you want.
Exactly.
And what have you been watching?
Well, I mentioned it before. I think it's a little spoiler with Succession. I'm just obsessing over
the show. That's a good one to spoil.
The Sunday night lineup's pretty good this year, but it's like Succession. Then I go right into Insecure and then I go right into Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, that just started again.
Yes. Insecure has been a little uneven. I really like the first few seasons, but I'm having a hard time getting into it this year. But Succession's been very good. Yeah. I think it's been a little tough. Like, I've been listening to a whole bunch of podcasts. A lot of them said that they've noticed like a tone shift with this because they're like, all right, there's not going to be a Succession.
Yeah, no one's succeeding.
No, they've got the buyout figured out. All that stuff is figured out. Now it's just going to get more into the nitty gritty of the family dynamics, which is really interesting. They have a lot to unpack, and they gave a lot of breadcrumbs throughout the whole season, you know, of all the things, all the horrible things that they've all done to each other over the years.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll finally get a little bit of backstory in terms of what's been going on.
Last episode was a little dark.
God, it was tough, right?
It was a little tough, yeah, but good.
My oldest was actually watching it for a little bit, and then when they got to the end, when it really, really got cringy, he's like, I can't watch this. And he doesn't even watch the show. He was like, I can't. I just can't. This is just impending doom. Something's just going to blow up.
We have a local sports talk guy who talks about pretty much everything but sports. And the Eagles got crushed over the weekend in a tragic loss to the Giants. So you think that would be what they'd be talking about on Monday. And instead, he kept talking about Succession and how disappointing the show was last night. And callers would call in to talk about Succession and not anything else. Like, what are you doing?
You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about advertising dollars, right? So if all of a sudden they say, hey, you know, we got 5 million listeners. Who cares if it was sports, right?
And he's like, I'll talk about anything.
That's right. Just keep them listening. Okay. That's the whole plan.
How about you, Aaron?
Well, Succession also. I'm right with Ange. I've been watching too. And I have problems with it at times because I get a little tired of it. It feels a little like a circular discussion about where this is, you know, who's going to succeed who, and it just never ends. But I think Ange is right. It's become about the family dynamic more in this season, and which you get to see a little more, you know, interesting acting, I think, too. Storyline is it's always kind of wonky because it's kind of making up places for them to be and places to be in these family dynamic situations. But it is good. Curb is a great one. You brought it up, Ange. We can chat about Curb for a minute.
Yes, please do.
I love Larry Sanders. Larry, David, thank you.
David. Well, you love Larry Sanders too, right?
I love Larry Sanders too. Larry Sanders. But it's never been a show that I could just keep watching endlessly. I'm not sure I could binge it. And this is maybe the first time in a long time where I'm watching it, you know, weekly. It's a very interesting formula. It's almost like Three's Company, right? In the, you know, there's always like this screw up that happens early on. And how does that affect all these things? And it all comes around in a circle. And that's what it is too. The situations are just amazing. It is so funny and creative. It's very LA and it's very Jewishy and it's very nebbishy and it's very, I don't know, gosh, it is so funny. And Larry puts himself out there. And he's just the butt of jokes. And Jeff Garland's amazing. And his wife, Susie, I can't remember the actress's name.
Oh, my God. She's incredible.
So funny. And her
dialogue is much fun yelling at him. Like, she does. Imagine absolutely. Your job is just going there to yell.
And cursing the whole time. It's just fantastic.
That's my dream.
Yeah, she has a filthy mouth.
She does have a filthy mouth. Yeah. She is so
she could be a stevedore. Funny. She's terrible.
She is so funny. It is such a real... And the other part, which... it goes without saying, is all of the actors and actresses that come on that show. Last night was Seth Rogen was like
how was he?
He was a primary voice, and Vince Vaughn's like a regular actor and in the show, and in Richard Lewis and
John
Albert
Hamm.
Brooks, John Hamm. It's never ending. And what's Casey Cuoco?
Kelly Cuoco.
Big Bang Theory? Yeah, her. It's crazy how many big names they get to do the show.
Similar, one of the first things we were talking about where, you know, it's older people doing a show and maybe the humor doesn't translate anymore. I mean, he's 30 years from the start of Seinfeld and he's almost, I mean, he's just as funny as he ever was. And it's topical. It's not like he's an old buffoon of a guy where, you know, he doesn't have the timing down anymore and he's missing his marks. The show's still just as good.
And wait till you see last night. It's so funny. There's
Well, you know, I watched it like religiously for the first 5 years and then I lost interest for a while. And now this year I just kind of like, you know, I just kept going with it because it was like, all right, Succession, Insecure. Yeah. All right. The curb is coming on. Let me watch it. And I think the season's been really good.
And I keep saying, I want to go back to start from the beginning. I don't know. Is this like season 8, 9?
I think
10,
so.
Whatever
yeah.
it is. Yeah. Were you a fan, Deanna?
Oh, of course. Fan? I've, you know, going back on like his connection to Seinfeld and everything, I've always told people that if I were ever like dating someone that they would have to like get my Seinfeld references because basically every day I have something that I can compare to a Seinfeld moment every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's very much because of Larry David. So watching Curb is like the extreme version of Seinfeld, where it's kind of sometimes a little unrealistic that everything that Larry David does is going to result in someone going, what is wrong with you? But like you enjoy it anyway, and it just keeps working and they keep finding ways to make it work. One of the things that, or one of the episodes that I refer to, at least one of the more recent ones, I believe was last season, if not the one before, when Michael J. Fox was on and he wrote in his Parkinson's into the episode and Michael J. Fox was just leaning into it and he was like shaking. He was like using his Parkinson's as an excuse to bother Larry as his upstairs neighbor or whatever. And that one scene where he like gave him a can of Coke and the Coke exploded all over Larry and Larry was like, what's up, Michael? And he was like, oh, sorry, Parkinson's.
Now I got to go back and watch this.
Well, that's the beauty of it. Cause there's a realness to it. And it's almost a reality show in a lot of ways, because these are real world in many ways situations. I mean, to an extreme, but there's a real reality to it.
I would want to know how much, like, because I think they do a loose framework and they improvise a lot of it. I would just love to see a script just to see what happens, you know, and see how much leeway they're given, you know, when they do the show. So
it's like a 2-page script and then the rest is just figured out.
Like this podcast. We're going to drink and we're going to talk TV. Yeah. And that's about all we got. We'll make up the rest.
I started watching something and because I love Mindy Kaling, The Sex Life of College Girls.
Is it The Secret Sex Life of College Girls? I forget what it's
something
called.
Like that.
I watched the first two episodes. It was pretty good.
So did I. So if you think of the first show was called Mindy, right? It's about Mindy being an adult, real Mindy being an adult. And sort of based on her parents, because her mom and dad are doctors, I think, in real life. And then the show that was on Netflix is on Netflix, Never Have I Ever, which is about high schoolers in California, and one girl specifically who's this Indian girl in school who wants to be the popular girl, and she's really smart, and she likes the cute guy. And it's basically Mindy when she's a kid. This show is about four girls in college.
Okay, the sex lives of college girls.
That's it. So these four girls, you know, who don't know each other, they're kind of thrown together to be roommates. And there's an Indian girl who wants to be a writer on the college, like the Harvard Lampoon. And she wants to be a comedian, but she also wants to fit in and find and get the hot guy. And the other, there's a girl who's not very popular. She's not very rich, and she's kind of plain, and her boyfriend dumps her. And then there's the rich girl who,
by the way, is good. Yes. I think she's Timothy Chalamet's sister.
Who?
The girl you're talking about is not rich.
Really? Is that why? Is that her last
name? Her name's Pauline Chalamet.
I did not know that.
I think it's a sister.
Wow.
I'll do a little fact checking. Keep on
it's
talking.
A family affair.
Yeah.
It's really interesting seeing Mindy kind of portray herself in different aspects of her real life. And I'm guessing that one day those are going to be a Mindy. She'll have a show about how, you know, being a mom with, you know, mm-hmm. two kids or so. It's very good. Yeah, at least in the first couple episodes. Shall we drink some more?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we should. I poured off some of the port cask, and I've just been nosing it this whole time. So.
Well, good, because that's what we were drinking.
By the way, yes, Pauline Chalamet is Timothy Chalamet's sister.
Really?
Who are their parents?
Parents are Mark Chalamet and Nicole Flender, whoever that is. So, I don't know. He's got a link. What does he do? I don't know what he does.
Yeah, with the port cask, how long is it in the port?
So, like the sherry, it'll spend around a year. We use tawny port for this. We actually sourced mm-hmm. our casks from Porta Cruz, which is another brand that our parent company owns. So we have direct access to the best casks.
Sure.
It sure. really brings nice, rich red fruit notes, little tannins, dark grapefruit.
It even gives it a little tinge in the color.
You definitely see a little bit of a pink hue in there.
Yeah, right. It's a little pinkish. Ooh, that's got a lot more of a kick than the other one. It's a little spicier.
Yeah, definitely.
Than the sherry. Mm-hmm. In a very nice way. That's good. I like that.
A little bit more of a citrus, tarty kind of tang.
Too. Yeah.
It's nice.
Kind of, I get sometimes like a strawberry and cream finish. Really depends on where my palate is. But this one is not necessarily a starter for the evening, so that's why we were leaning on this one towards the end, because of how strong the flavor profile is. But this one would go really great with a barbecue or something like that.
It's a little dry too. It's got a little bit of a dry finish.
Make this into your sauce, put it in the smoker. What do you think, Aaron?
Just try it out.
Funny you said about barbecue. I am drinking a peated cask, the 94 peated cask that was left in, I believe, a Lafroy cask.
That sounds delicious. Oh,
nice. Yeah, it's 56.3. It's a big boy.
That's up there.
Hey, Deanna, what else are you drinking over there? Now I saw a can of something. What'd you move
on
to?
It's water.
Oh, it's just water. Can of water. Okay, I'm just checking. I see all these like beverages coming around. Okay. Got to hydrate. I gotcha.
I'm actually not like a huge fan of canned water. It kind of doesn't seem right to me. But this was left over from an event that I did. So
there you go. Waste not, want not.
Speaking of events, so are you kind of out on the road now? Or are you kind of getting out and seeing people and doing stuff?
Oh, yeah. It's been pretty busy the last few months. It's about to calm down in a few weeks.
Well, thanks to Christmas, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, January is just very calm for everyone. But I've gone to a few different whiskey shows like Whiskey Fest, Whiskey X, Whiskeys of the World, Whiskey Washback. And so I've been in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Denver, Texas, Florida, just a little bit of everywhere.
Hey, you know, I have a question for you. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the events popping up. I don't see a lot of advertising, though. Or maybe I'm not paying attention. I don't know. Maybe because I'm just not in a position to go anywhere right now. Like before, we would just kind of see like an onslaught, you know, whether I'd be getting emails or stuff on Instagram, but I saw nothing. like Whiskey Fest, I had no idea it was coming back. Or they did the Water of Life at Keene's. I don't know. Is it limited capacity at the events, or are they all pretty much as many people as they can get?
I'm not sure on that part, but I do agree that it's been a little bit more dialed back. I will say that at the shows, there are less brands there.
Okay.
Like Whiskey Fest was definitely a lot smaller. Okay. But it's really great for a brand like Glenmary to get exposure because we're one of those, like, you know, best kept secrets in a way. We've been around for a long time, but we are a really great brand. And so we're able to get FaceTime with people. You know, when you go to these whiskey shows and you have so many brands that you can't even get to within the 3-4 hours that you're there, you know, you're kind of at a loss. So you can get more FaceTime with them.
Right.
And I'm not really sure what their plans were and what their capacity was going to be and all that stuff. But I will say in general, everything's been a little bit lighter.
Yeah, it just seems that way. I mean, I just do it based upon the emails that I get. And usually I would get a lot more about things coming up, and I'm not getting a lot of those announcements. So I'm just wondering if it's more just keeping it local. I mean, I guess New York has enough of a draw that you don't need to spread the word much farther because, you know, you got a population of 10 million people and there's a lot of whiskey drinkers in New York. So I'm guessing it doesn't take much to fill an event.
Are they at 10 million now or not 8 million anymore?
Well, maybe it is 8. Well, I don't know. I have no idea.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, who knows after the COVID mass exodus, right? And now everyone's coming back.
Right. So that's the way it goes.
I went to my first whiskey festival since 2019. A month or two ago, Whiskey and Barrel Night, I think it's called. And it was a weird little venue. It was here in LA. And it was a strange venue. So it was not a big open ballroom kind of thing. So it was hard to tell how big it was. It's kind of like in the basement of this old bank building in downtown LA. It was hard to tell how many vendors there were or how many tables were. It didn't feel like very many. It felt like a lot of people because you're kind of packed in a small space, but it was kind of hard to tell whether it was, you know, well attended or not. And I would guess that it's going to probably be that way for a while, I would think, until people feel more confident in going out and brands feel more confident in going out and being out. And I think it's going to take a while, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a mixture of all of that.
Whiskey and Barrel Night replaced Whiskey Live?
Correct.
I think. Yeah. I don't know.
I get Whiskey Fest and Whiskey. Yeah, is that right? There's still a Whiskey Fest, right?
Well, Whiskey Fest is still with the magazine, right? That's still a Whiskey Advocate?
Right. Yes. Yep. So, yeah, this was Whiskey. This was the old Whiskey Live. Yep.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. And I saw our friend Karai there, too, with the Paul John table.
Paul John is also a really great brand.
Shall we move on to what we want to watch? Anything on the list of things that you haven't gotten to yet that you're excited about?
I still have Dune on my list, so I'll probably see that, you know, within the next few weeks. And then Dexter was one of them. I started watching it. And then the last one that I'm looking forward to is Ozark.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, do they have a date for that? Do they?
I know it's January.
Oh, it's January. Okay.
I think so.
Okay. That should be fun. This is the final season, isn't it?
Supposedly, yes.
I think so.
I have to say season 3 ended pretty spectacularly, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Season 3 was really good. Season 3, I think they dialed it up. One was great. Two was okay. Two was kind of a mess, but 3 was really, really good.
Yeah, that one stuck with me.
That was good. And it's a shame they killed off the brother, but because he was great.
Oh, yeah, he was good. To.
I thought you didn't do any spoilers.
I'm sorry.
No, that's an old one.
I'm sorry.
That's last season.
Way to go. I'm only in season 1. Thanks.
Oh, well, that's your problem. You're a few years behind. I mean, figure season 3 was 2 years ago. So
thanks for nothing.
I think Stranger Things is coming too as well. Yeah. That's coming sometime after the first year, I believe. I'm not sure when, though.
It's usually around Halloween.
Halloween? I mean, a year from now?
I think the last one they released around Halloween because it like associated well
with the holiday.
Yeah.
Mm. What about you guys? Anything you guys want to looking forward to?
The boys. The boys just started binging Community, so now we're watching Community.
Oh, I thought you meant the boys.
Until they show the boys come back when I want to see that. It's just funny to watch them watch these shows because you see them. They have no idea who Chevy Chase is. They're like, this is just some old guy on the show. And, one woman who's one of the leads on it, she was she ran the movie theater on Drake and Josh, the show they watched, you know. And like, oh, that's Helen. Like, no, that's not Helen. That's, she has a real name.
I was actually watching Community.
So it's just funny to watch the show.
I wanted to have it on in the background as something I didn't have to pay much attention to before I got on this podcast. And I was thinking kind of like the same thing about Chevy and what he brings to that show, the way that I was talking about Steve Martin and Martin Short. Chevy was like bringing his own style of humor that was like what he was doing, you know, over a decade ago and still using it here.
Those Second City people, we talk about them a lot on this show. Those people that came out of Second City and early Saturday Night Live, even in their old age, they are still amazingly great comic actors and actresses.
Well, I mean, look at Eugene Levy. I mean, the last 10 years with Schitt's Creek, he pretty much blew up again, right?
Yeah. And Catherine O'Hara. Yeah, totally.
I would love to have those guys as my dads.
I just read something about Rick Moranis coming back. He's going to do another.
He's doing another Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
And he's just like this comedic genius who just sort of stepped away and lives in New York with his kids. And I think his wife passed away. So he's just taking, I think.
Yeah, his wife passed away and then he just phased himself out.
Stopped taking jobs. Yeah. And he's like crazy, crazy funny.
Or maybe he was a serial killer.
He's taking a break. Because of the kids. He's taking a break. They call that in the business a hiatus, I believe.
Is that what they call it?
Maybe. Yeah, in the entertainment business and in the killing business. And what about you? Anything you're looking forward to?
Now you just reminded me that Ozark's coming back, so I'm looking forward to that. Better Call Saul, are they getting close? I know they were in production, and then, his name had to go and have a heart attack. Bob Odenkirk, right? Yeah. How dare he? I mean, come on, man, I'm waiting.
That's so rude.
I want to know what happens to Kim. That's what I want to know. That's the big mystery. What happens to Kim?
Yeah, because I want to see the Kim spinoff start already, because it's going to happen, I'm sure.
No.
Well, she'll die.
I like her. I just don't think that that's necessary.
I agree with you.
did you watch Better Call Saul, Deanna?
Yeah, but now I'm wondering if I'm like missing some last episodes of the last season or something. And maybe I need to catch up, because now I'm like, wait, what is going to happen to Kim?
I don't even remember saying this.
They've been out for so long because of COVID and the inability to shoot that you're like, I got to rewatch the whole last season because I don't remember.
It's just
what
so weird
anymore.
That, you know, these things never, it's not like old time TV where it was, you know, you knew the schedule, you knew the timing of the seasons, right? And now it's, oh, we'll come back whenever we want to come back. And then you throw a pandemic and it's, oh, 2 years later, we're having season four. And it's three episodes.
And it's just going to be like the three episodes and then we're going to take a break and then we'll do four more episodes 4 months later. Like,
it's probably better this way. What's going on? Before, studios would just be pumping stuff out and you would become desensitized and not like appreciate what was going on. And then they were just giving you crap anyway. So I don't know. Maybe this will make them have better quality episodes.
Well, I think the volume of course is still there. I mean, every channel's still filled. We're just not watching everything. You know, there's another 7,000 channels you can watch something else on.
The American Dream.
One of the shows I was watching, and I'm looking forward to the second half of season, let's say four, maybe it's five, I don't remember, is Money Heist on Netflix, the show from Spain about a group of people who are good at stealing things from the Spanish government.
Are they good at it?
Well, we'll find out. I think it's the last five episodes are coming. So we'll see if they actually get out of this thing after 5 years and get away with all the money and no one going to jail.
Yeah, I gave up in the middle of the second heist. So I was like, Oh, did you see the previews for this one show that's coming on HBO? It's with, what's her name? Olivia Colman and David Thewlis, Landscapers.
No, what's that?
It looks bizarre. It looks like they're like some like unassuming couple in England, but they may or may not be serial killers.
Landscapers.
I've been watching the preview, and just because it's Olivia Colman, I want to see
it. I heard about it.
I just want to see it just because it's her, and she's just so good.
I feel like that might be influenced by like a real
serial
killer.
Sort of based on a real story. So,
this guy in Canada, I think, he was a landscaper and he would, I was watching one of these like Oxygen shows and this guy he was a landscaper and would bury bodies in like large pots. and stuff on other people's properties until they found out what he was doing.
Well, the fertilizer. I mean, he's just using good fertilizer.
That's ashes to ashes, baby. Ashes to ashes.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
So I think we have one more whiskey to taste.
We do.
Yep.
We got
the Cabernet cask.
I gotta take off before you guys start that one. I am leaving.
You're
so
leaving.
Yeah. You guys can finish up for me. Deanna, thank you.
And you're on the West Coast. Really,
I am on
the
West
Coast. We're out here hanging out late.
I know. Well, I'm going to be hanging out late with some friends. So, Deanna, thank you so much. It was nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too.
If you get out to the West Coast, we'll get together.
Definitely.
Okay. Bye, guys. Bye.
Ciao.
Have fun. No, he's the worst. He's the worst. And he's just so old.
Well, we can share this last one between just us three.
Okay, that works. That works. So this is the Cabernet?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most interesting, in my opinion. I don't think that you see a lot of Cabernet cask finishes. Uh-huh. Of course, you're seeing a lot of distilleries play around with different types of wine barrels these days, right. But it definitely wasn't a thing a long time ago. And Glenmurray was one of the distilleries that was playing around with wine barrel finishes from the get-go. Specifically, they were using Chenin Blanc barrels. But I would like to say that they definitely know what they're doing when they're using these. Yeah. So this one in particular, we use Burgundy French red wine barrels. The smell is just so interesting on this. You can get a lot of the red wine notes on the nose.
I can certainly see why you'd want us to do this last too, because it's so different than the others.
Yeah, this one actually spends a little bit longer in the finish. While the others spend around a year, this one will spend up to 2 years. It really oscillates on the palate. It comes in waves and the tannins shine through on the back ends. You get a lot of like chocolate spice and a fortified wine feel.
Where do they source the cask from? Do you know?
It's the Burgundy region. Although we don't know the exact vineyard that they come from.
Are they also maybe something by the parent company or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Okay. What's the name of the parent company again? I'm sorry.
La Martiniquez.
I don't know how to say that.
La Martiniquez.
Oh, La Martiniquez. Like okay.
They're the second largest French spirits company. So that would be behind Pernod.
And what's like the first three, you still picked up the grainy, the biscuity kind of note to it. And it's gone with this finish. Like you don't get that on the nose at all here.
Yeah.
You're really just getting like the fruits and like apples. And it really
takes
nice
over.
Smell.
It was something that I wasn't sure how I felt about when I first had it, but the more that I have it, I just kind of get like these different experiences every time.
Now, you're exclusively repping Glenmurray?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you had like other whiskeys that, you know, I don't know if they had any other, did they have any other distilleries that they own or just Glenmurray?
Yes. So they also own some facilities that, at Bathgate, so they produce Glenturner and Cutty Sark.
Okay.
And that distillery is a very large facility, so they also produce other liquid that they sell to other brands for blending.
There's like a peppery flavor to it, and I got the chocolate you mentioned. Boy, it's totally different than the other three.
It stands out on its own.
It has a different feel too. It's not, I didn't find it particularly spicy. Maybe just a little bit.
No, but I didn't get much spice on the other three.
Well, it comes in really quick and then the finish is like, it's short, but then it just comes back later. It does its own thing. I can't figure it out.
Yeah. No, it's nice. They're all very good. They're all very, and you said price point, they're pretty approachable. So they go, what, 35 to what, 35 to 50, 35 to 60?
35 to 40 for this particular line.
That's not bad.
Yeah, the heritage range, which is our age statements, they'll be a little bit more.
And there's one other finish in this that we didn't have with
the
us.
The Chardonnay cask.
So what's that one? Chardonnay? Like? Is it like pretty dry or?
I wouldn't say that it's dry. We also source from the Burgundy region for this one. We also age anywhere from 1 to 2 years. The distillery used to use California Chardonnay, so I think they were leaning more on those like buttery, like wet notes, and we're trying to maintain that. So with the Chardonnay Classic, you'll get more fruity, honey, melon, like creamy, nutty, marzipan notes. So I wouldn't say that they're trying to lean more on like the dry side with that, but it's a very standout part of our line. I actually like that one a lot.
That sounds great. It's the same four ingredients and time, you know, just add some time to it, see what happens. And then when you get into the barreling and you figure this is our base liquid and it's good and it's ready. And then we can do this to it and this to it and this to it and see how it changes. I'm just fascinated in like the chemistry that goes into all this. And how they're like, well, if you put it in for 6 months, it's not enough. If you put it in for a year and a half, it's too much for some of these. For other ones, it's like, well, it's got to be in like the two wine casks. It's got to be in more than a year because you don't get enough out of it. It's just amazing to me how that all works.
Yeah, a lot of patience.
There's so much thought that goes into it.
A lot of patience too.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I was just scrolling through to see what's coming up TV-wise, and I can't see.
Always looking for the next show.
I kind of am. It's kind of fun. It's been really interesting though, because you know you've got like what? How many streaming platforms are you subscribed to at this point? I think we've got like 6 going around here,
and half of them come free if you have cable subscription, or you have this, or you have that, and
it's a little crazy. Now, what's annoying though is if you don't have a plan going in, I find myself for an hour just flipping apps trying to find something. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, trying to find.
Yeah,
very, very frustrating.
We need some direction. There's like too many options. Yeah, so I feel like maybe within the next decade, we'll go back to just watching like 2 channels on regular cable.
It's almost like there's just too much. You know, it's like saying there's too much whiskey. There's not too much whiskey. It's just you just got to find what you like.
Now, is the whole classic line available in the States?
All 56.
And then you mentioned there's the 15 and an
12, 18? 15, 18, and
21. 12, 15, 18. And all in the States as well? Excellent. So they're not holding anything back except that one rum agricole cask, right? That's the only thing you can't get here.
There are plenty of other things that you can't get over here, which is very unfortunate.
Now, that rum agricole, was that a one-off, or is that a part of just the European, like the UK range?
It's a part of the UK range. I think that the plan is to do more of that, just because we have direct access to barrels from St. James. Honestly, I've seen a lot of interest in the States over Caribbean rum cask finishes. I'm sure you have too. So it kind of makes sense.
For me, I'm very interested.
It makes sense for that to happen one day. So let's, you know, keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, rum's on the rise. Yeah. So, and I think there's a growing interest in rum, you know. And I just base it upon, you know, we visit a liquor store. Like there's this one little one down here, Benash. And I remember going in there a couple years ago and there was like a small section of whiskey and it's just expanded like fourfold in the last 2-3 years. You know, just the amount of things that they have. And even with rum and mezcal and just spirits in general, it's just exploded in that little store. And the store's not getting any bigger.
Yeah.
They've just expanded, you know, what the offerings are.
Just got to pack it in.
Yeah. And they do.
Yeah. It's one row of everything now instead of, you know, 3 rows of Johnny Walker. We're going to just condense that down a little bit.
It's crazy. We'll do something different. You know, we go in there looking for something. It's like, oh, there it is. What do you know? You know, you find it in like a corner.
You got to walk the whole store to go and
you're looking at the little nooks and crannies, and it's like,
or you could ask for help.
Oh, that's social. But that where's the hunt? Where's the thrill of the hunt?
Yeah, it's given up.
That's fun. So now, do you have a lot of events coming up in the next couple of weeks? I think you said it's going to quiet down, I guess, after like the next week.
Yeah, I have Whiskey Fest San Francisco later this week, actually.
Okay.
That'll wrap it up for the big festivals. I'll have some small New York private events that I'm doing. And then next year we have one in Miami, Whiskey X. We'll be doing Whiskey X in Miami on January 28th.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to escape the snow and come down to Miami.
There you go.
We'll be there.
Enjoy some warm weather.
That will be good. There's nothing lined up really for the Philly areas. I mean, not that we're opposed to going to New York, because we will come up with the right motivation, which doesn't take much. Like, hey, we got whiskey.
Okay, oh, because you're closer to Philly, right?
Yeah. Well, we're we're 15 minutes from Philly, but we're only like an hour, hour and a half from New York, so it's not that bad.
There was a festival in Philly recently, but I actually don't cover Philly. So even though I'm Northeast, I'm not really Northeast. My counterpart who lives in Florida covers Florida and the control states.
Oh, okay.
So Pennsylvania being a control state, he covers that. But it's only 2 hours away from me, so...
We're not opposed. We're ready. We're ready. I need to get the hell out of the house.
I will tell I'm sure him Mike does to too. Let you know.
Okay. Yeah, by all means. Throw us on the email list. Yep. You've got our address. Yeah. It's easy enough.
or New York. We go to New York.
Come on down.
We're not opposed.
I mean, I go to Jersey sometimes. Jersey is one of my territories too.
Oh, okay, cool. Did we miss any shows, any other stuff that we're watching or going to see?
I saw the new Ghostbusters movie.
Was it good?
That was good.
Was it? How's it compared to the original, though? Now, it was Ivan Reitman's son.
Ivan Reitman's son and Jason Reitman. And Aykroyd is still actively involved like he was in the originals. And this kind of follows that track with those first two movies. This is like their third movie. They tied it all together.
Well, Paul Rudd's in it, too, right? So it's got to be good. Everybody loves Paul Rudd.
How do you not like Paul Rudd? Sexiest man alive.
Yeah, people said so.
That's what they said. I like Paul. He's a charming fellow. He actually seems like a really nice guy, too. So he's cool. Although, you know, I tried watching that show with him and Will Ferrell on Apple TV, The Shrink Next Door. I don't know. I have to try it again. It was a little weird.
Give it a couple episodes, see what happens.
So, all right, what do you think? We've covered everything?
I think we did.
Deanna, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for drinking with me.
I really like the classic lineup. I think the Glenn Murray guys have really put out a good product. This is nice. And it's very approachable from both a flavor and a price point.
And again, Deanna, thank you for joining us. Thank you for the whiskey. It was a pleasure. We hope you had fun.
I did.
All right. We'll see you in about a minute. We're just going to wrap it up and talk about Aaron, how he's just awful.
He's a quitter.
He is a quitter. All right. We'll be right back.
He left us. That's my Jurassic Park reference. He left us.
All right. Thank you again. All right, Mikey.
Another distillery we didn't know much about.
No.
We know a fair amount. Pretty good stuff.
It is good. It is all good. It's always nice to find somebody new. And I like the approachability factor. I like the affordability factor, you know, because everybody's like, scotch is too expensive or scotch is too peaty. Yeah. Well, here you go. Try this. Quit your whining.
Bayside.
Yeah, quit your belly aching, folks. Try something new.
It's awfully good stuff.
I think it would be a good transition for like people that are like bourbon drinkers or, you know, that just want to kind of, that are afraid to try scotch because they think it's too smoky or.
And I think the ABV is about right for that too, that it's not going to be too much of a burn factor. You're not going to drink it too fast to get drunk on a 60 point something at 40%. It's
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all. Start them slow. Work them up to the 50, 60%.
I gotcha. All right, so what do you think? We're going to wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audible, Spotify. Where else can you find us? Oh, you can always find us on the blog, boozedancing.com. And once again, if you have any questions, comments, you know, whiskey suggestions, cocktail suggestions, any kind of suggestions, something we should watch, by all means, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. Sir, as always, it was a pleasure.
I'm pleasurable.
I don't know. I talked to your wife earlier. She begs to differ. You're her happily ever after, right?
Smoke and mirrors, man. Smoke and mirrors.
That's all. All right, man. Cheers.
Cheers.